At that time, Augustus Caesar sent an order to all people in the countries that were under Roman rule. The order said that they must list their names in the register. This was the first registration taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own towns to be registered. So Joseph left Nazareth, a town in Galilee. He went to the town of Bethlehem in Judea. This town was known as the town of David. Joseph went there because he was from the family of David. Joseph registered with Mary because she was engaged to marry him. Mary was now pregnant. While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have the baby. She gave birth to her first son. There were no rooms left in the inn, so she wrapped the baby with cloths and laid him in a box where animals are fed. That night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby, watching their sheep. An angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord was shining around them, and suddenly they became very frightened. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I'm bringing you some good news. It will be a joy to all the people. Today, your Savior was born in David's town. He is Christ, the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding box." Then a very large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel. All the angels were praising God, saying, "Give glory to God in heaven, and on earth let there be peace to the people who please God." Then the angels left the shepherds and went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. We will see this thing that the Lord has told us about." So the shepherds went quickly and found Mary and Joseph. And the shepherds saw the baby lying in a feeding box. Then they told what the angels had said about this child. Everyone was amazed when they heard what the shepherds said to them. Mary hid these things in her heart. She continued to think about them. Then shepherds went back to their sheep, praising God and thanking him for everything that they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them.
In our evening services through this Advent period, we've been looking at some Christmas cameos, some of those characters in the story many of us are so familiar with, but characters who support the main narrative, who support the main character, who of course is
Jesus.
Yes, you've all been to Sunday school. Today, for the next few minutes, we'll consider the shepherd's role in this narrative that we've been singing through. There are many things that we can learn from this passage that Elikam has just read for us, but I just want to draw three things from this brief passage. And I'm going to get right into it, because my time is limited this evening. Firstly, God brings his message to ordinary people. You know, if God had something to say, something important to say, we might expect him to use the most effective channels. Well, I think the story proves that he did. The fact that we're talking about it 2,000 years later is evidence of that. But surely a revelation of this magnitude ought to go to the king for the most effective cascading of this information. Use the corridors of power. Get the propaganda machine going. The king could use his army of civil servants to get this message out to all the people. But that's not how God works, and it's not how he works in this passage. He uses an angel to deliver this message to ordinary people. Shepherds who were connected to the masses, men who were not afraid of hard work, not afraid of danger facing wild beasts as they protected the sheep. And yet God brings this message of hope to these ordinary men. No special characters here, but ordinary people just going about their ordinary business, tending their flocks at night, not washing their socks or watching ITV, as some popular songs might tell you, but they were tending, they were looking after, they were caring for the sheep on the hillside there outside Bethlehem. just faithfully doing their job. Ordinary people like you and I. And suddenly, the glory of God is shining round them in all its brilliance. And an angel stands there before them. And these men are understandably terrified. I'm sure I would be as well, given put in their same situation. I would be terrified. I would be prostrate on my face before him. But this was a message of hope that this angel was bringing. Good news of great joy for all people. In Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one of God. He is the Lord. Verses 10 and 11. And this leads to my second point, that God's message is to be shared. Verse 10 tells us that it is good news for all people. What, you mean all people? Not just the Jewish leaders at the time, were they not the ones who should have received this message as a priority? Was it not for the Roman occupation to receive such a message? Was it not for the Greek philosophers? No, it was for all people that this message had come. Even the people of the village of Banstead. That's how far this all people extends in God's economy, in God's thinking. It's not just for those few people there at Bethlehem. It's not for those people in the land of Judea. It's not for a select type of people. It was a message of hope and love and reconciliation from God for all people. And that extends right down to today, my friends. It's available for all. And it came to these ordinary shepherds, just faithfully doing their job. So what do? They take this message as instructed. They go off to Bethlehem to find the babe that they'd been told about in verse 15. And then only two verses later, in verse 17, we read that having seen the babe, they spread the word. They told everybody that they came across. They told everybody, all their contacts in Facebook. They sent a message to all of them. I don't think they had Facebook at the time, but you understand what I'm meaning here. Every person that they knew in their vicinity, in their community, they told them about this awesome message that had come to them. And not only the fact of this wonderful message, but they went and found it just as they had been told, that the Savior of the world had been born. And the people in the district were amazed. And so I'm sharing this message with you today. As Andrew said at the beginning when he opened up our service, whether you're here for the first time or the 1,000th time, I'm sharing that message that God pronounced on the hillside outside Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And the message is just the same. It's the same hope that is offered. It is the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is offered tonight. That message that God sent his Son, Jesus, to save us. Why? Because every one of us, myself included, every one of us has messed up. We have broken God's laws. We've acted independently and selfishly. We've been unkind, and there's no end to the list of things that I could put out there. You know what it is because you know your life. But every single one of us in this room tonight, 200 and whatever it is here this evening, every single one of us has broken God's laws. And you may think, well, I've not been that bad. But no one here in this congregation this evening can claim perfection in absolutely every detail of your life. Now, I'm not saying that to try and make you despair. But I'm saying this to try to, so that you might see the need for the Savior Jesus, the one who was pronounced on this hillside 2,000 years ago, who would come to save us. To rescue you and I from our despair. And to give us hope. Not only a hope for the future, that when we die, we will be with God. But a hope for today. That we can walk with him, day by day, hand in hand with Jesus, as it were. And that glorious, hope-filled message is to be shared. It's for all. But then the final part of our shepherd's story today, the third point, God's message demands a response. These shepherds returned to their fields. They'd left the sheep. We don't know the detail of how they'd left them, whether in a safe fold or whatever, with under somebody else's care. But they went back to the sheep. But note the reading as it was delivered to us. How did they go back? How did they return to the fields? They were glorifying and praising God. They received this amazing message from the angel. They went and found the baby Jesus in the manger as instructed. They told anybody they could find about this message and what it meant and what they had seen. And all who heard it were amazed. But the shepherds returned, giving glory to God and praising him. So my question for every one of us this evening, myself included, what is your response to this message? Is this just a fairy tale to you? Is this just something you've heard time and time again when you come to these lovely carol services every Christmas? Is it one of those things, well, it's okay for grandma if it makes her feel good? Or does something of this message resonate with your heart this evening? That the God who created this universe that we live in, the God who has given us breath in our mouth, stepped into our humanity through the person of Jesus. Why? For the sole purpose of being our Savior. To save us from an eternity in hell. But more than that, to save us for an eternity in heaven, an eternity with God. An eternity that has hope and peace and love and joy. That's why Jesus came. And my appeal to you this evening, what is your response? Are you just going to cast it aside as another ranting preacher? Are you going to say, I'm going to put that off, I'll think about it during the week, and as we eat Christmas dinner, I'll think about what he said on that Sunday evening? Or is there a response from your heart this evening, a response that wants to cry out in praise, in worship, in adoration to our God for what he has done so completely from his own side by sending his son, Jesus, to live that perfect life that we could never live and to die as the sacrifice for the things that I have done wrong? But praise God, I'm getting into our Easter message now, but praise God, he died, but he rose again. Hallelujah. And today he's seated at the Father's right hand in heaven in glory. And it's from heaven, it's from glory in that sense, just as it did for the shepherds on that night outside Bethlehem. It's from heaven that message comes today. And it's a message of appeal to you individually. Don't look to the person next to you. Don't think about how much they need this message. This message comes to you individually. And the response God requires is from you individually. Don't spurn God's love for you tonight. Don't cast off lightly what he has done. But come to Jesus. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how you've messed up. He knows already, by the way. But tell him. Ask him to forgive you and make you new and clean before a holy, righteous God. And I know, and dozens others in this room know, that he will forgive you, that he will make you clean, and that he will never let you down as he walks with you and me. So come and speak to Andrew or myself after the service. We'd love to chat with you. We'd love to pray with you and for you. But my urgent request, what is your response to God's love? What is your response to God sending his own son, Jesus, to die in your place, in my place? Amen.